I've been vilified, alleged to be a king of corrupt people and the most corrupt. These are the words of former President Zuma in his opening remarks before the Zondo Commission after being implicated by various witnesses as being a key player in state capture. Out of the 10 people who've incriminated him, he turned on his former mines minister, Nwako Ramatlodi, claiming that he was an apartheid spy. Karen Morn, specialist reporter at Tiso Blackstar, joins us on the line now with her analysis of Zuma's first day in the hot seat. Karen, thanks so much for your time this evening. So no big surprises, I assume, at the line this conspiracy against me has come in different forms. We knew that this had to form some part of the former president's defense, but has he so far started to lay concrete enough argument on the table?
Well, I think what's so fascinating is that Jacob Zuma has been hinting for years that he believes that he's a victim of this political conspiracy, but he's never vocalized it in such a kind of succinct kind of way and actually named the names of the people that he believes were part of it. I mean, two of his former cabinet ministers, as you correctly pointed out, naming them as either apartheid spies or potential collaborators with the apartheid authorities, and indeed revealing, you know, for the first time that while there had been many reports, for example, of him allegedly being the subject of a poisoning, that in his own mind he has been the subject of multiple attempted murders, including one by a suicide bomber. So this goes beyond the realm of simple political conspiracy. Jacob Zuma is essentially saying he has survived multiple attempts by various international intelligence agencies to have him killed.
Absolutely. And with that coming to the fore, I mean, there's no holds barred. Do you see real skeletons being unearthed here?
Well, one just has to watch the social media accounts to see how transfixed South Africa has been with this. But is it going to be something that he can substantively prove? We know, for instance, that the National Prosecuting Authority did investigate the murder plot against him. His wife, Nompumelelo Ntuli Zuma, was the subject of a suspect in that particular plot. No arrests and no one actually ever charged over it. And certainly, you know, a lot of these allegations operating within the murky space of intelligence may be difficult to prove. We have also seen Nwako Ramatlodi coming out very strongly to deny the allegations against him.
Absolutely. Karen, we've had on his ANC comrades, the former president saying that he's been respectful to comrades and that maybe he's reached a point where that must now take a back seat. While we talk about this new dawn under a new administration, there is quite a bit of political infighting that's been happening. Do you see this now intensifying that rift within the ANC?
Absolutely, because you can't have a scenario in which a former leader of the party is essentially outing those who've spoken up against him, most powerfully, of course, Nwako Ramatlodi, as apartheid spies and not expect there to be political consequences. We are in an environment where, there's a lot of fraught division within the identity of the ANC. Those who believe that, it has sold out its mandate in terms of radical economic transformation, and those that believe that that transformation can only occur through solid investment. And that kind of rhetoric has at its heart a deeply ideological, profound rift. And this kind of allegation of being a sellout, being part of the apartheid structures, operating at the behest of foreign agencies, is something that is going to further drive those divisions. Of course, the final crucial point to remember is that Jacob Zuma reportedly removed Pravin Gordhan from his position as finance minister on the basis of an intelligence report that effectively suggested he was complicit in economic treason against South Africa. This insight that we get into what Zuma has told us today certainly would support an idea that that may well have formed a basis for his decision and will certainly mean that the inquiry will have to go into that realm of his relationship with Gordhan and whether he feels that Gordhan is part of this kind of conspiracy that he has articulated against himself.
With this all playing out now, do you think that President Cyril Ramaphosa erred in keeping Zuma supporters in key positions, or is it not as clear-cut as that?
I think the thing is with the ANC is that he did not have a clear leadership victory in that party. He simply can't afford to remove some of the people who were part of the machinery that got him into power in the first place. And he, you know, he's well aware of that. He's traded very, very carefully, very, very lightly in terms of his leadership of the ANC. But, you know, things are coming to a head, not least of all because he himself is under investigation by the public protector, Busisiwe Mkhwebane, who has gone after Pravin Gordhan over his involvement in the so-called SARS rogue unit. Of course, he's legally challenging that. But the line has been very much drawn in the sand. And Jacob Zuma's entry into the witness box at this particular moment in South Africa's history could not be more fraught and more divisive than it is now, because the ANC is a deeply divided party with deeply divided agendas.
While we had the former president put in the spotlight the kind of narrative that was doing the rounds in mainstream media, he has admitted to the role he played in trying to shift that narrative. He admitted that he's inspired the Guptas to start the progressive media force that came in the form of the New Age and ANN7 as well. Is there anything wrong with that, Karen? He maintains that the role he played was innocent.
Well, essentially, I think the big question is that, you know, we've heard from Rajesh Sudaram, who gave evidence, you know, he was formerly part of the ANN7 structures, that there was a concrete attempt to disguise the involvement of the former president by those within that organization, that he was referred to, for instance, as number nine. So given that, you know, Jacob Zuma has said, listen, I wanted to be part of a progressive media organization, why was there the secrecy around it? I think that's one of the issues that the inquiry is going to ask him about. Why was there reluctance from him to articulate his involvement in this organization if it was, you know, an innocent one? And why is this only coming out years after the fact, where, you know, he was questioned or there were attempts to question him about this and he chose not to necessarily answer those questions? Yeah. So I think that is a crucial issue that the inquiry will have to address tomorrow.
Karen, before I let you go, very quickly, on the flip side, what have you made of his allegations that Johann Rupert threatened to sink the economy? Because at the end of the day, one's got to ask whether that's not in fact investor prerogative.
Well, essentially, you know, he heard this averment from Fikile Mbalula, who was one of the people who came to testify before the inquiry, and may well be called back to give this evidence. But effectively, it's hearsay at this point. One doesn't know, you know, whether if Johann Rupert will respond to it. But, you know, essentially, all very shadowy. And the key person who is alleged to have told Zuma this particular information, yet to come out at this stage and confirm that he did in fact do so.
Absolutely. Let's leave it there. Karen, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Karen Moon is a specialist reporter at TISO Blackstar.